Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Aloha and welcome to Free Inside with Brother Bulla Eastman, an outreach of the prison ministry of First Assembly of God Honolulu. Now, let's join Brother Bulla for tonight's message of truth.
Aloha no, everyone. Brother Bulla here once again, sharing the good news with you. I want to welcome all of my brothers and sisters tonight for tuning in. I'd like to give a shout out to the Berean and Friday Chapel boys at Halava, my Waiava boys in Module 10 Cashbox program, my FDC faithfuls, you know who you are, and to our good friends all over the United States tuning in, and even to those who have just gotten home after a long day at work, have put the kids down sitting at the dining table, or if you're still stuck in traffic going out to the west side. Aloha, mahalo for tuning in. Free Inside Ministry is the prison ministry of First Assembly of God, Red Hill, Honolulu. We have a passion for the Lord with a vision to reach the incarcerated, the broken, and the lost, and to preach the gospel to every person. We share the word of God and words of encouragement each week to those that are incarcerated in Halava, Waiava, OCCC, FDC, soon in the Women's Correctional Facility in Kailua, and we also go to Saguaro, Arizona, to minister to our brothers there. Hang on, brothers, we'll be there shortly in a couple weeks. Feel free to check out our website at www.freeinsideministry.org, where you can find all of our programs in a podcast format to download for your listening enjoyment. We also have a Facebook page with the same name as our email, Free Inside Ministry, and our email is freeinsideministry@gmail.com. Drop me a line, send me a suggestion, or just let me know maybe this program has touched you or a loved one in your family. Our anchor verse for Free Inside Ministry: "For I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans for a hope and a future." That's in Jeremiah 29:11. And it goes on to say, in verses 12 to 14, "In those days, when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you and will bring you home again to your own land." Coming up very quickly here at the end of the month, actually on March 31st, many of us will be going to church that day to celebrate something called Easter Sunday. I would say that it's the most important day for all those that would claim Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. See, it's not about bunny rabbits. It's not about eggs. It's not about the Sunday buffet. And it's not about little chocolate candies. It's about Jesus. Well, Brother Bulla, do you think it's more important than the birth of Jesus? Yes. Well, Brother Bulla, is it more important than the prophets of the Old Testament and all the accomplished? Yes. But Brother Bulla, is it more important than the miracles recorded in the New Testament? Yes. You see, my beloved, Easter Sunday represents victory. Death was defeated. You want to talk about the greatest comeback in sports ever? I don't know anything that could compare to someone, our Jesus, coming out of the tomb. The greatest comeback ever in the history of mankind. But you see, Easter, that's not what I'm going to be talking about today. I'm just going to segue or merge my way into my message. But Easter is the focal point of the Christian faith. And it's noted that it is significant for four main reasons. The first reason would say that Easter fulfills hundreds of prophecies from the Old Testament of the Bible and the predictions that Jesus actually made in his teachings. Easter is something God had planned from the very beginning of time. Secondly, at Easter, Jesus modeled what it meant to live and to die in perfect obedience and faith in God. He suffered horrendously, yet he did not sin. Thirdly, Jesus, in his death on the cross, pays for the death penalty of all others who trust in him. This is because he was pure and perfect, and is the only one who did not deserve to die himself. And lastly, because Jesus rose from the dead on Easter Sunday, this proves his divinity and his power to save for eternity those who commit to him. This single event in history has the greatest enduring significance in the Christian belief system. Now, I could keep going on and on and on about Easter. I really love talking about Easter and getting prepared for that glorious day. But tonight, I guess in a manner of speaking, to prepare ourselves for Easter Sunday on March 31st, I wanted to share with you the message that the Lord gave me to share. It's called Three Reasons to Be Thankful. You know, once there was a visiting preacher to a very small country church, and he delivered a sermon on gratitude. Now, at the conclusion of the sermon, when an offering was to be taken up for him, he said, "And remember, however small the gift, always be grateful and thankful to the Lord." Well, the offering was taken up, using the preacher's hat as a collection plate. When the hat came back to him, the preacher looked inside, and it was empty. He looked down, and the congregation was watching him very, very carefully to see if he would practice the words he had just preached about gratitude. He thought for a moment, he bowed his head, and then he prayed, "Dear Lord, I thank thee that I got my hat back. Amen." You see, being a thankful person, I think you would agree, my brothers and my sisters, is not always easy. I'd like to welcome those of you who have just tuned in. This is Free Inside Ministry, 99.5 FM. And tonight we're talking about three reasons to be thankful. But like I just said, being a thankful person is not always easy. Now, in your situation, where you're at, be it on the edge of your bunk or lying on your bed, you're wondering, how can I be thankful? I have no idea what you are talking about, Brother Bula. But you see, being thankful is contrary to our human nature and requires that we live out of the resources that God has blessed us with. Some of us, could be you that I'm talking to right now in your cell, feel that we don't have anything to be thankful for. I'm really sorry you feel that way, but you have so much to be thankful for. You see, it's easier to tear down than it is to build up. If you are a contractor, is it easier to demo or demolish a house, or is it easier to build one from the ground up from scratch? It's easier to destroy things. It's easier to tear things down. It's easier to break things. But God builds back up. He won't take over your life without giving you a makeover. It's all or nothing. He's not the fly-by-night contractor to put up the puka roof on the back of the house. No, if you want God to take over your life, he's going to make over your life. He's going to take you down to the bare bottom. He's going to make sure that you hit rock bottom so you know who your rock is. And your rock is Jesus Christ. And he knows that. And he's going to show you that by his grace. But in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17, now this describes the character of a new man, of a new creation in Christ. "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another. Even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Now, if I go to the Jesus book, which I love to go to, I call it my West Side version, you see, discouragement is the biggest tool, the biggest weapon the biggest arrow that the enemy has to use against you. If the enemy can discourage you, to make you feel less than your worth, to make you doubt that you can do anything, to attack your self-esteem, then you're letting the enemy get a foothold, get a stronghold in your being, in your persona. That's why I like reading from the West Side, because sometimes, well, let's face it, we can't understand the way King James is written or some of these, not hoity-toity, but sometimes the language barrier is there. So the West Side Version or the Jesus Book is going to allow us to share together as one ohana, as one group, as one being, what really is trying to be said here. So let me share what the Jesus Book says. God will pick you guys, and he get plenty love and aloha for all you guys, and you guys stay special for him. Show love and pity for other people. Make nice to them. Don't get big head. Don't make yourself number one. Hang in there with the other peoples. Don't let other people bother you. Somebody give you problem. Let them go and don't stay hoo-hoo. The boss won't let you guys go, so just like you guys, go make just like him. Get plenty love and aloha for everybody, because that make all the other stuff come together good. Let Christ take charge of you guys and make your hearts rest inside. He will tell all you guys for come together and stay together just like one ohana. And thank God every time for everything. Let all the stuff Christ went say stay strong inside you guys. And use all the smarts you guys get for teach the others. And show each other what's they right and what's they wrong. Go sing and go thank God plenty inside your heart with all kind songs. I mean the kind songs for God. The kind songs that make God the boss. And the kind songs that God's spirit give to us guys. Whatever you guys say or stay doing, do everything for the boss Jesus. Because you guys stay his guys. And Jesus can help you guys to God the Father. Mahalo plenty. You know, and if you look at verse 15, it has three components. It talks about peace of God. In the Jesus Book, it says, make your hearts rest inside. It talks about being part of the body. In the Jesus Book, it says, all you guys will come together and stay together, just like on Ohana. And it talks about being thankful. In the Jesus Book, it says, and thank God every time for everything. I believe that these three truths are connected. So as we move forward to Easter, I would like to share three reasons to be thankful. The first point, my beloved, is you can't be peaceful if you're not being thankful. Peace and ingratitude cannot sleep in the same bed together, nor can they fellowship in the same soul. Remember that song we sing, Give Thanks. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks for he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done for us, give thanks. Sometimes, you notice, when you're hanging around some people that always be negative and always talking rotten and stink, and they complain. Nothing is ever right. Nothing is good enough. And nothing good comes out of their mouth. And now it kind of rubs off on you, maybe just a little bit. But, you know, it can start off as the smallest of little things. You know, it's just a little murmuring, just a little comment, just a little thought that they had. And all of a sudden, the things keep growing and growing and growing, like on Jabong out of control. You know, and it just, you have no control of it. And it could start off something like this. Hey, did you see the dress that Sister Maria Lani was wearing at church this morning? A simple statement like that. And then everything starts coming. Hey, I know what you mean. And eventually, the conversation changes not unto what she was wearing to church, but how she actually lives her life, how she conducts herself outside of the church. And everything and anything she does now comes into their realm of judgment as they continue to murmur and gossip about a fellow church member, their sister in Christ. And it all started out by someone saying, you saw what she went wear to church that day. Then all of a sudden, they're talking about, hey, she cannot cook, she cannot clean, she cannot take care of the kids, she can't even take care of the house, she cannot take care of the husband. In fact, I think I saw her kick the cat before she got in the car for come church today. And it all started from, did you see the dress that she was wearing? Kind of like how a snowball can become an avalanche before you know what's happening. You know, it's like, imagine if I was a football coach. I've been blessed over the years to be around a lot of youth and a lot of youth sports and youth programs, and I had such a blessed opportunity. I saw a lot of great things, and I saw a lot of things that I wasn't too happy to see. You see, sometimes coaches in youth programs, they forget that they're supposed to be the coach. They've had their opportunity. Their athletic career is now over. They are supposed to encourage and lift up and teach these younger athletes the right things about the sport, the good things about the sport, about sportsmanship, and about proper techniques. You know, it's just so frustrating. But imagine with me, let me develop this. If I was like a football coach and it's the pregame speech, and imagine if you're one of my players and you're sitting in the locker room and we've got a big game coming up, and imagine if I was going along these lines. Hey, all you guys, you lazy, you good for nothing, you don't have a chance to win. You know why? Because you guys don't know how to do nothing right. You're just lazy. And no, none of you guys get any kind of brains. And you guys, you all special. Yeah, real special. That's why you guys should all be in special ed class. You're wasting my time. You get trains for brains, so better you jump off the tracks now instead of wasting my time at this game. Now, if you were there listening, and this is your coach, this is the figure of authority, this is the one that's going to lead you to the battle, if he's talking like that, I think you can tune him out pretty quick. How can the team ever come together to play or even to win? I think it'd be pretty hard. If you think about it, it's when we're being ungrateful. That's a pretty sure sign that we're not at peace with our place in the world. We're not at peace with how God is caring for us. We're not at peace with how God is taking care of us. We're not at peace with how God is providing for us. We're not at peace for our situation because we see it through our eyes and not God's eyes. And we're just not at peace with where we are in life. A lot of times, the ingratitude begins at that point. The second point that I wanted to bring up, three reasons to be thankful, is, you know, you can't be in unity if you're not being thankful. See, Paul writes about it, and it says that we should live as one body. But it's kind of hard to be walking in unity with someone who's ungrateful and you're grateful. Think about it. If God can't please somebody or someone or some person, how in the world will we be able to please that person? How can thankful people and unthankful people really walk in agreement and serve the purposes of God together if they're not in alignment? No way this can happen. Just like my grandma used to say, oil and vinegar, she no mix. You see, we're either going to be focusing on God's blessings and all he's done for us, or the other position will be we're going to constantly complain about what has not yet happened, what he has not done yet, or what others are not doing for us, or what the government is not doing, and on it goes. And most people who live this way seldom see their own irresponsibility or their need to change. It's all about the other person. If my wife changed, if my husband changed, if my kids changed, if the attorney would change his attitude, if I had a judge with a better attitude, if my cellmate would change. You know, if once everybody changes, it's going to be all right. It's going to get better. It's going to be better for me. Let's just look in the mirror and start there. Let's change that person first and see how things change around us. But you see, it's in the Book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 21, and in the New Living Testament, yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think of foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. In the Jesus book, in the Book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 21, it says, hey, they know about God, but they don't like tell him. Yeah, you stay awesome because you stay God. They don't like tell them, hey, mahalo plenty. That's why what they stay thinking all poho already. Because they don't understand nothing. Just like everyone come all dark inside their heart. See, Paul writes about how the world has lost and it's turned away from God. And we've gone into foolishness and darkness. And one of the things he mentions is the part of denying God. And they don't even give God thanks. They are not grateful. See, because being unthankful leads us into foolishness and darkness. They know about God, but they don't like tell him, hey, you're awesome because you stay God. They don't like tell him, mahalo plenty. That's why what they stay thinking, oh, poho already. Because they don't understand nothing. So like everything come all dark inside their heart. You know, if we are not a thankful people, we are a foolish people. Because if we're not thankful, we're not choosing light, we're going to choose darkness. Ingratitude shows that darkness has taken root in our very hearts and our very soul, and it's leading us into foolish thinking and living, just as Paul has written here. How many church issues do you know about? How many problems could all be solved if we could just be more thankful for what we have and for what God is now doing in and around in our lives. You see, had one father, and he had two boys that just like for beef all the time. They couldn't agree about nothing. All they do is scrap with each other all day. This made the father real sad inside, and finally he go tell them all kinds of stuff, but they don't like listening to the father, and now he get more and more sad. Finally, one day he go tell them, hey, go out get one bundle of firewood sticks for start the fire, but tie all the sticks together and bring them back. They go out, they come back after a couple hours, and now they get the bundle of sticks. The father said, tell one boy, hey, bust those sticks like one bundle. Cannot. They stay pretty strong. He told the other boy, now your turn. Bust them up. Show me. They couldn't. Both of the boys tried to break all the sticks, but they couldn't because they're bundled up together. Now the father take the bundle, and he take the sticks out of the bundle one by one and give them to the boys. Tell them, bust them up. How easy that was. They stay making chopsticks from all the sticks. Then all of a sudden, he tell his two boys, my boys, if you guys stick together, like one brain between the two of you, you're going to be like the bundle of wood all tied up. No one can bust you guys up. Your enemies and all the haters not going to be able to bust you. But if you guys don't get each other's back, then it's all power. They're going to bust you off real easy. Just like how you're making right now, make chopsticks. So we got to be thankful. We got to stick together so we can do more stuff than if we're separated. Keakua called us together for stick together as one ohana and for have plenty of aloha and mahalos all the time. The last point, the third point, is you can't be who you're supposed to be if you're not being thankful. And Paul writes it very clearly. Being thankful means that we're full of thanksgiving. Being thankful means that's always something to thank God for in every situation. Notice I said we can thank God regardless of the situation. I didn't say you had to be thankful for the situation, but you can still thank God in the situation. May I remind you that what someone once says, do not grumble because you do not get what you want. Be thankful you do not get what you deserve. This is so true. God has already done should suffice us to be grateful for eternity. Try to think about if someone was to follow you around. See, for the last month there, recording everything that you would talk about, everything come out of your mouth. And that same person would be able to find out every idea, every comment you made, every moment of the day. And he's recording all of this stuff. Kind of like an investigative series on you, how you talk, how you think, how you speak. Now I ask you, would everything be good? Would everything be right coming out of your mouth? Or would, if I had a group of people, if I had another jury sitting there, would they say this guy was bitter? This lady was spiteful? She never have aloha. She had plenty of hate inside her heart. See, sometimes we look at the situation we're in and we base our reaction on the situation. Oh, Lord, if you loved me, I wouldn't be locked up. Oh, Lord, don't let your situation dictate your relationship with your Heavenly Father. He loves you far too much. You see, a lot of times when we face a challenge, when we face a situation, when we face a difficulty, are you thankful or unthankful? Do you rely on the Lord for everything? Are you confident in the fact that he's got your back, that he works all things, not some things, half things, a third of the things? He works all things to the good. Are you confident in that? You know, sometimes we need to get vertical real quick and thank God for what he does do instead of what we want. How would that help us see God and still worship him for who he is? See, a lot of times we lose blessings. We lose blessings because our heart is not right. We're not thankful to God. And Paul also wrote in Thessalonians, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It is God's will for us to be thankful. It is one of the ways that we can glorify God in our lives. How many times have you gone through a situation where at the end of the situation made more sense than when you was in a situation? You know, a lot of times, if you were to take your right thumb, we're going to do a body by bula aerobics. Take your right thumb. Extend your arm all the way out. Clench your hand in a fist, but stick your right thumb out like you're hitchhiking. Eh? Now put that thumb and bring it over so it covers your right eye. You see, your thumb or your thumbnail is the problem or the challenge in your life. Now cover your right eye. What can you see? Nothing but the thumb, right? That's what the devil wants you to see. Focus on your problem. Focus on your situation. Focus on what seems to be controlling your life. That way you concentrate on only your situation. Now, extend your arm back out. Have your thumb thumb still sticking out like you're hitchhiking. This is how God wants to see your life. Did you lose your thumb? No, still there. That's your problem. Your problem's still there, but now what do you see besides your problem? You see everything. Keep your situation, keep your challenge, keep your problem in the proper perspective. Don't let it consume you. Let the love of God consume you so you can see your situation, so you can see your problem in the same way that God sees your situation. It's not the only thing, and it's not everything. It's only one thing. God loves you too much. My brothers and my sisters, if there's anything tonight, know that God is still in control. Even through the storm, we're going to praise Him. We're going to raise His name, and we're going to worship Him. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. In Philippians 3:13, my beloved, I'll close with this. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. My brothers and sisters, I want to thank you once again for tuning in tonight. Bless you. Know that God loves you. Know that we love you. Free Inside Ministry, we're here for you. And until tomorrow night, get your rest. And remember, you're too blessed to be stressed. Aloha ke akua, malama pono.
You've been listening to Free Inside with Brother Bulla Eastman. We hope tonight's message has blessed and encouraged you. If so, we'd love to hear from you. Email Brother Bulla at freeinsideministry@gmail.com or call 222-2822. That's freeinsideministry@gmail.com or call 222-2822. This program was sponsored by Honolulu Ford and by First Assembly of God Honolulu. Remember, if the sun sets you free, you shall be free indeed. Free inside. Until tomorrow night at this same time, may God be with you.